Lent begins with Jesus redirecting his ministry and moving now toward Jerusalem. Jesus knows that his message of compassion, inclusion, generosity, hospitality will not be embraced there. His way makes the Jerusalem powerful scared. It gets in the way of their lives, which they have constructed for personal benefit and the benefit of the empire. Jesus is going there to step into the rigidity of authority and control with the vulnerability and vibrancy of God's love. Jesus is moving to Jerusalem with his disciples, and others are curious and think about joining in. He tells them that it's going to be hard, really, really hard. They will be part of making God's love real, about making God's care for the world felt. They will be a part of healing and restoring. They will be a part of justice and peace taking root. They will be co-creators of the kingdom of God. God will give them all they need. So come along with him, he says. But do know you are going to be exhausted, rejected, bruised, vilified, threatened, and unsettled. Really, Jesus? Your way of love and welcome leads to all that hurt and challenge? It doesn't seem right, does it? It isn't right, but it is. Jesus loves and acts and transforms the world and her people as they are, which is with their insecurities, fears, walls, resistance, territory protecting. This is hard, messy, threatening, unsettling ministry. And here we are 2,000 years later, gathered as followers of Jesus' way. All the threats and challenges that Jesus warned those first disciples about are real for us as well. The brokenness of the world remains. The resistance to transformation continues. Ministry remains as hard now as it was then. But what is different, what is hugely and significantly different, is that we know now how that whole trip to Jerusalem worked out, and those first followers didn't. We know that Jesus and his followers made the trip, and the empire and the religious powers flexed their muscles. He was killed, and it seemed like the story was over. Until 3 days later on that first Easter, when they discovered, and we know, that God's love could not be snuffed out or contained in a tomb. They thought they could stop God, but no. Love wins, grace abounds, transformation and new beginnings are real and constant. And we have the gift of knowing that truth now. They didn't. It hadn't happened when they joined in. We have the gift of knowing that truth and letting that give us courage and strength to do the hard, messy, threatening, unsettling ministry that today's world demands. One of the things today's world demands is digging deeper into the challenge of the question at the beginning of this morning's sacred story. The man asks Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus had just provided instruction. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor. How hard and challenging that question and instruction remains. How present it is in the news and actions of today. Who is my neighbor? Those who live next door to me? Those who were born in the same country I was? Those that have immigrated to my country with legal documents? those whose parents brought them to the U.S. without documents when they were children, those who came without documents on their own, those who were born here to undocumented parents. Who is my neighbor? From Jesus' perspective, it's all of the people I have just mentioned. So how do we love them? Remember, Jesus said it would be hard. How do we love neighbors in today's environment? How do we follow the biblical command in Leviticus? When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So could it be that our calling as followers of Jesus moves us to follow God's law of welcome and neighborliness, even when it goes against the laws of the land? This is a really hard question for me. My dad would not go 56 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. The law was 55, period. That's it. So with that at the core of my childhood, it is tumultuous to consider doing something that violates national rules. Jesus, you don't make it easy. It isn't soundbite or black and white tidy. When my mother's dementia was so advanced that my dad couldn't care for her at home, she was dressed, cleaned, loved, fed by people who were not born in the U.S., many of whom without proper papers. I hear Nicole Rodriguez talk about the fears that her students have, thinking their parents will be deported and they will be left alone. I know it's been more than 30 years since the U.S. has had made any reforms to our immigration policy. I know that poor people and dark-skinned people have fewer options in the immigration system. I know that my grandparents emigrated from Cape Breton without challenge with white skin and native English. I know people who have spent lots of money on immigration attorneys that have failed to do what they were paid to do. I know undocumented people who have fallen in love and married a citizen and started a family. I know people who have fled brutality. And I know that last week, Border Patrol agents in the area where I walked in the desert last May forced two migrants to strip, sent them running in the desert, and then took after them to apprehend and detain them. How do I react and respond to the news headlines? How do I balance my father's legalism with biblical hospitality and Jesus' instruction to love my neighbor? Our church council has had some initial conversation and discerning and prayerful back and forths about this. We started in December, the same season when we were remembering that Mary and Joseph could not find a place to stay when they had been displaced from their home and sent to Bethlehem. We talked about the historic practice of churches offering sanctuary, literally welcoming criminals in the Middle Ages and others to live in the physical protection of the church. We talked about the new sanctuary movement, which is ongoing today, where churches are inviting people with deportation orders to live on church property, where immigration, customs, and enforcement policy precludes removal. We talked about the challenge, the fears, the possibility of welcoming the alien, loving our neighbor. It was the beginning of a conversation that needs much more input, discerning, sharing, continuation with any and all who are interested. Those that are ready to swing open our doors and those for whom the idea is really hard. To prayerfully explore together how we love our neighbors who are undocumented, right now, right here. They are the ones that are on the side of the road and hurting, vulnerable, like the man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. There isn't one right answer. But there is one enduring challenge from Jesus: to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Doing so, we spread the love, the grace, the hope. We get to be part of God's life-creating, transforming way. But it isn't easy. And God will never leave us alone to work on our own, but infuses us with a future, with strength, and a vision. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.